of the United States. Who is this? Is it you again?
Look behind you.
This is my private line. How did you get through?
They're everywhere. All the time. We see them every day. But you have to look behind you.
There is nothing behind me. How did you get this number?
The spaceman told me.
What spaceman?
It doesn't matter. I'm telling you about monsters. Please, you must look behind you.
Young lady, there are no monsters in the Oval Office.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "Wait, wait." The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "Wait, wait." The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "Give up.
Lewis. And this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Central to the themes of this progression toward the eschaton, the end of the world, dispensationalist history. I don't even know if you could call it history. It's kind of like prehistory, right? Then you have these string of beliefs about dispensational reality. And those who are true adherents to conspiracy theory, they're well aware of the existence and potential influence of secret societies like the Illuminati on world affairs. While some may consider this a conspiracy theory, the Illuminati, of course, there are compelling arguments and historical evidence to suggest otherwise. And we must not forget that we have an enemy, and that enemy thrives in darkness and chaos. And I know that just on the spot, you can't confirm every detail about these claims. And we all need to be vigilant, though. We need to be aware of philosophies that creep in and become as popular as the latest reality show or musical group. I see the signs and importance of the last days as well as planned theater that I think has been created and used as a deception in order to snare people into thinking that this is the end of the world. Obviously, the end of the world is too easy. You have to work and work and work and endure and endure. But I also feel, maybe it's the heightened awareness in me, maybe it's the paranoia in me, I also feel like that it's a bad idea to throw caution to the wind. If you read up on the ancient histories and the stories that are told over and over again, you have to admit that there has been a race of evil beings that exist on the earth, and they've been here since the dawn of time. They can be identified by their bloodline. They can be identified by their genealogy. They are labeled and categorized as either the working class or the royal class. And it's proposed that from the beginning, secret bloodline families have worked towards their ultimate goal, which is to place the son of the royal dragon lineage upon the throne of the world. This is called Rex Mundi. And it's another term for the Antichrist, Rex Mundi. If I use Rex Mundi, maybe people would be more comfortable with that. But in ancient Europe, we had descendants of the serpents, and they became the masters, the bankers, the controllers. They imposed exorbitant taxes on the common bloods. And they saw them, they viewed them as little more than cattle. And they continue to grow rich through the dividing and conquering of others while they keep the masses unaware of who and what they truly are. Okay. They know that wherever land they migrate to, wherever they infest the area, they soon control that area. When wars they caused to divide, the land for gain failed, they created and used religions to oppress every tactic of control was used and still is used to this day. That's why the other night we were talking about the European ruling elite. Talked about that with Tim Cohen. And that these bloodlines that we hear coming from David and the tribe of Dan, and I mean, and how it all pertains to this Antichrist or the Mashiach or whatever. The descended blood came from Cain. And this is the, you know, precisely the reason that royal or European blue-blooded lineages have kept pure to this day. At least so we're heard. So we're told. And this is one more reason to suspect that the royal dragon lineage will provide a messiah that will, for all intents and purposes, serve as the Antichrist, Rex Mundi, world king. Once and future king, if you want to be Arthurian about it. And there will be no announcements or proclamations. No one's going to stand at a dais. Nobody's going to stand at a pulpit and say, by the way, I'm the Antichrist. Look at me. No, they're not going to do that. As with everything occult, it's all about perception. It's about what you see. And in the end, all things are going to be disclosed. And it will be amazing. It'll be amazing to have disclosure, but it's going to be hazardous and tricky and terrifying all at the same time. And those of the serpent bloodline who are the, well, who are not the royals, they feel naturally led to societies like, well, Freemasonry, Knights Templar, and other secret lodges that they attain further occult knowledge with each degree achieved along the way, beginning, well, they become more privy to its suggestive symbology, some of the rites they do, the esoteric titles, all having allegorical meanings, all deeply rooted in ancient pagan and Egyptian rite. The rites that reveal a polytheistic rule by entities that visited and taught man basic survival skills. And you can call them gods with a little g. You can call them aliens. You can call them ancient aliens, ancient astronauts. But it can be argued that most nations in the world can be seen as basically pagan nations, or at least they were organized by pagans and Luciferian families. They would hide behind a state religion, hide behind a bloodline. In all of the nations of the world, there were temples that were built, pyramids that were built, public worship, public offering, sacrifices, blood sacrifices. In every community, there were philosophers, there were mystics, all of them deeply versed in alchemical practices and what they call priestcraft. And these individuals were usually banded together. They formed secret philosophical schools. And at these philosophical schools, they would teach ritual, they would teach magic. And this stuff was forbidden in some ways. I mean, they did it so the churches would not know. They kept their magic from the all-seeing eyes of the churches. And many of the great minds of antiquity were initiated into these secret fraternities with their mysterious rites. Some of them were extremely cruel. But a lot of the secret teachings were provided by the druids. They are divine holy men or the medicine men or even the sorcerers who also officiated in human sacrifice. The officiators would actually drown someone or hang someone or wound someone, drain their blood. I mean, it was awful. And a lot of the rites we perform today, some of the sacramental rites, are literally fire drills for consuming the flesh and blood of a god. It's renewing a covenant. It's actually renewing a blood covenant. It's all about the blood. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clegg Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. like we would. The number's called tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. You know, after we did the show with Tim Cohen about the Antichrist, again, you know, bringing up some of the things like, of course, the sphere of, I guess, influence that Britain will have on Israel and whether or not that's going to happen, whether or not, you know, they want to establish a new Rome or a new Jerusalem, and they want the king or they want the new king or the prince to be the ruler or at least the high priest in the temple. And it's all about these royal bloodlines. It's all about who's deciding what. And they secretly meet and talk about what they feel the people need to know. And no one, I mean, and so again, they're so secret, nobody talks about them. I'm talking about them because this is old classic conspiracy theory. If you go back and you read books like Holy Blood, Holy Grail, if you read any of the writings of Tracy Twyman, if you see the movie Bloodline, Bruce Burgess, good friend of mine, director, Bloodline was an amazing movie that he did. I did several shows about it because it was so amazing. And you start realizing that there are groups that are influenced by alchemical practices and priestcrafts, and they're great minds. Many of them are. And they were part of an ancient ritual. It's handed down from generation to generation. It's like the Knights of the Round Table or the Templars or, you know, like I was saying the other night. So one of the things about the Druids, one of the things about these ancient alchemical priestcraft type groups is they believed in something called the threefold death. And in one version of the threefold death, an individual has three simultaneous causes of death. For example, wounding, hanging, and drowning. And these causes of death were usually a punishment predicted in advance. And naturally, there's only a few recorded instances of them given how unlikely a triple death happens in life. Both the cross and the serpent are a part of this ritual. And they were sacred to the Druids. And they made one of these symbols by cutting off all the branches of an oak tree, fastening one of them to the main trunk to form the letter T, and the oaken cross became a symbol of their superior deity. And the deity was formed for the sun and the stars, the combination of Jehovah, Baal, and Osiris, Jabulon. And I talked about Jabulon the other night. I talked about this triune god of Jehovah, Baal, and Osiris, Jabulon. That is it's a code name for God in a lot of these secret societies. The Druids were called the descendants of the serpents. It is the year of the snake, which makes it even more appropriate to talk about this topic. And they were the hidden serpents. You know what they called them? They called them the Amen or the Amen. So when you say Amen or Amen after a prayer, we're talking about the serpents of old Egyptians, and that's what it is. I mean, as you say Amen, Amen, few people on the planet have ever even thought about where this word comes from. There's also a number of names that you find over time of families and bloodlines that turn up all the time. One of them is the O'Quillian name, or it changed over time to O'Collins, or just plain Collins. And yet, in some of the most secret societies of Europe and America, the O'Quillian or Collins name is known for its power, and a number of Collins who share this ancient heritage have used their skills to disrupt society because they know of many secrets that only you and I can dream about. So going back to 1776 and the formation of the Illuminati associations with the Jesuits, it should be known and not surprising to discover that the name of the O'Collins appears. The 13 most powerful commonly associated names bloodlines to the 19th, 20th century Euro-American industrial Illuminati by conspiracy writers include the Astor bloodline, the Bundy bloodline, the Collins bloodline, the DuPont bloodline, the Freeman bloodline, the Kennedy bloodline, the Onassis bloodline, the Lee bloodline, the Reynolds bloodline, the Rockefeller bloodline, the Rothschilds bloodline, the Russell bloodline, and the Van Dyne bloodline, or the Van Duyn bloodline. In terms of the history of bloodlines, in terms of the history of secret societies within America and Europe, We have the Grand Druid Council. We have the Brotherhood of the Snake, the Brotherhood of the Serpent. And it was believed for a time that the Collins family, were always the head and honor of the most ancient occult power of the bloodline. And, of course, the nature of the most powerful and most secret of secret societies means those assertions are difficult, if not impossible, to prove. But it would show at least knowledge of the real occult power of ancient European bloodlines and all these traditions of the oldest high kings of Ireland, Britain, all choose or all being chosen from the serpents or the serpent line, the dragon line, the bloodline of the dragon. Take a look at Britain. Take a look at their business district. All it is dragons, statues of dragons everywhere. Think about that. Think about King Charles III. Think about the Prince of Wales. Think of Wales. Think of the flag of Wales. What is the flag of Wales? But it's a red dragon on the flag. The serpent, the dragon, the order of the dragon, the bloodline of the dragon, the European bloodlines and traditions of the oldest high kings, the direct blood descendants of David from the tribe of Dan. And if you read the Bible, you know that the Antichrist comes from the tribe of Dan. In fact, the Colin or Chulin name is taken from a Gaelic word that meant coil. Colin, coil, like the coiling of a serpent. Coil also meant woods and Lee meant physician. So you got a combination of probably the most primitive Gaelic words of coil, Leah, and would render something like divine medicine man of the woods or divine holy man or green man. And the green man, of course, is represented by a horned demon. So when you have the snake coiled on the staff with a crossbar, that is a symbol of the divine medicine man of the woods, the man who knows the secrets of the bloodline. And so many of these secret blood kin have used their powers for good, while there are still a small number of them that use what power they have to disrupt any attempts of revealing core intelligence. Now, we know what core intelligence is, at least some of us do, because the deeper the rabbit hole goes, the closer you get to the ultimate secret. And that ultimate secret is that we are facing an extinction-level event at the hands of dimensional entities. And this is why I think that we have a hard time with disclosure, and governments are having a hard time with disclosure because disclosure is a core secret. It's not just that aliens exist. It's not just that UFOs exist. It's their purpose and what it means if we meet them, what it means if we associate with them. Because history has shown what happens when we associate with them, and how wars break out, diseases break out, all kinds of things happen. Again, facing an extinction-level event at the hands of dimensional or extraterrestrial entities. There have been many mystical workings that have brought entities in our existence. There were the seances that were held by the Nazi witches called the Vril. There was a massive American seance by an elite group called the Nine, and some of those participants were from the DuPont family. And there was the Babylon working conducted by Marjorie Cameron, Jack Parsons, and L. Ron Hubbard. Yes, that L. Ron Hubbard. It was a satanic Babylon witch working that was created or at least parroted by, well, it was parroted by Jack Parsons. It was a spell or a working that was created by Aleister Crowley. So, what does this mean? Well, these mystical workings summoned fallen angels. And the identity of the fallen angels look a lot like the aliens we talk about today. I'll tell you more about that coming up on Ground Zero. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
babies.
UFO wreckage recovered by the U.S. kept classified by a secret government program for decades.
...as being about 4 feet tall. The huge bald head that sit on gray, frail, hairless body.
Somebody that, you know, says, well, there's something happened to me. I'm not sure what it is. I want to explore it, and I want you to help me with it. How do you know that what they're relaying are actual, what they believe to be actual?
The last place you'd probably ever suspect to find a biblical scholar is at a UFO conference.
Dark eyes and gray-skinned bodies. They are pop culture's most familiar aliens.
When you get into this subject, it's inherently about questions like, what really is humanity? Who put us here? What about God? Is there a God? Maybe there's a God.
I'm Clay Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. Numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Just for a moment, I'm going to take some time away from the show. I want to address an elephant in the room, if I can. And can we bring the music down, please? Thank you. You know, it's a very difficult thing to approach an issue where the listeners and those who helped me survive are being betrayed. And lied to about this program, about this show, and the intent of what we plan on doing and what we want to do. First off, Ground Zero is not going away. We were told that Aftermath subscribers were sent letters saying that Ground Zero is shutting down operations on March 1st. That is not true. Ground Zero is doing business with a company called Rovitix Media. Rovitix Media is not in any way, shape, or form, affiliated with me directly. I am basically talent that works for that entity that is supposed to be a clearinghouse, a middleman, for the subscriptions we get in order for us to survive. And the person who is the head of this company has decided to take it upon himself to make decisions that we were in response. We were trying to respond to his decisions, and those responses were ignored, and he has sent out notices saying that the shutting down of Aftermath.media was my decision. No, it was not my decision. In fact, we are going to post correspondence. We are going to post correspondence between Rovitix Media and Ground Zero to show you that we wanted the show to continue on Aftermath Rovitix Media. We wanted to continue it through, another 9 months. He wanted us to continue through December. We said we wanted to reduce it to 9 months. Then he turned around and said, no, we're shutting it down March 1st. We're going to stop all kinds of subscriptions, tell people we're canceling their subscriptions. And we are in the process of getting a new website next week. But the problem here is that the transparency, you think that Rovitix would be upfront and transparent about how many members we have on Aftermath along with records that match up. That's one of the reasons why we decided to shut down, or we decided to move from this platform, is because we wanted an audit for future investors, and they did not surrender one. And so as we were trying to, in good faith, make this an amicable transition, They decided not to participate in that transition and have decided that they want to go the way of being aggressive and to actually steal from you, the listener. This is not about me. This is about you. This is about how a person has decided to rip you off, and I'm trying to get into the situation and help you so you're not. And so the deal is this. If you feel like that you've been ripped off, we're going to give you an email address, groundzeroron@gmail.com. That's groundzeroron@gmail.com. We have people now on our side that are going to be working with you. And what they're going to do is they're going to work with you. They're either going to refund your money or they're going to give you an opportunity to carry on your subscription in another format on another system that we are being backed by very, very important people in the radio business. I mean, the bottom line is I really care about my listeners. I really care about those who are members of Aftermath. They're like my family. And I just hate the fact that this is the way you're being treated. I hate the fact, I mean, not only are they ripping you off, they're ripping me off, they're ripping everybody off, all the crew, everybody. I mean, we're all wondering why Rob Davenport has done this. We don't understand why he's done this. This was news to me today. I got the information from friends and others who are, I mean, another puzzling issue is that Rob Davenport emphatically stated there would be no refunds for yearly subscribers. I mean, is that really being ethical? Is that even legal? See, that's the thing. Now we have to get lawyers. Well, we got a lawyer anyway, and we've had a lawyer discussing this with the system, and I realize many of you have sacrificed financially in helping support Ground Zero, and I want to do everything in my power to make sure that you are the priority and getting what you paid for. So if you received a letter from Rob Davenport, owner of Rovitix Media, he's speaking on behalf of himself. He's not speaking on behalf of me or Ron Patton or any of the crew members here. We have been with this digital platform for 4 years. They provided us with a lot of great stuff, but lately it's just been one headache after another headache, and so we thought it'd be important to move on and give you the quality that we want. But they turned around and decided to take that from you. They decided to rip you off. They decided to screw you over. So the letter has indicated that I wanted to shut down Aftermath on March 1st. That is untrue. The correspondence will be posted on a website next week. That way you can see we'll be very open and transparent about what's going on here to show that this is nothing more than fraud. And you will see that it's fraud. You will see that the business representation is not good. We didn't ask for anything that couldn't be provided. It wasn't provided. This is immoral. This is immoral. It's unethical. And I hope that we can find a resolution to this. If you're an Aftermath member, I want you to let us know if you are a monthly or yearly subscriber. If yearly, please indicate what is the expiration date on your subscription. If you're interested in being a member, please leave your email and interest. You need to send it to groundzeroron@gmail.com, or you can go to our Facebook page, and you can leave your information there as well if you wish. I would say be personal. Go to Ron. Ron will take care of you. Ron has been devoted to me for many years working on this program. I am going to get down to the bottom of this. I just want to emphasize one thing. I did not approve of any of this. I didn't approve of the shutdown of the chat room. I didn't approve of you getting cancellation notices. And I didn't approve of saying that there are no refunds going out. We're going to make sure that what is happening here will be rectified, corrected, and I need your prayers and help in this time. Thank you so much for understanding. We'll be back. break in a show, future show. Okay, so I want to make sure that everybody's clear on this. I'm way open here. I'm wide open here for this, and I want to be able to give you at least news updates on what's happening here, because this is a complete and utter shock to all of us here at the Ground Zero team. And so we're going to look into this some more and maybe get some other people who know firsthand what's going on here to talk about it. But in the meantime, let's go to Dave in Arizona. Hey, Dave, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. Thank you for taking my call, sir. If transparency and audits are your thing, you guys should hook up with Elon Musk, because he's just he's flushing out the system, man.
I think I'll give old Elon a call and say, hey, man, can you investigate somebody? Anyway,
you could be the flagship radio program when they set up on Mars.
We're trying to be.
So, you know, you were talking about bloodlines, and yeah. I know in the past you've talked about things like 23andMe,
yeah.
And then there's AI, and the Bible talks about the Antichrist, and he's not like your average typical Jew. You know, he's outside of that.
Right. He is part of, and people tend to abuse this term, so I want to be very clear that I'm not putting any meaning into this term. It's part of the synagogue of Satan. Those right. who claim to be of the direct bloodline of the Jews, and they are most certainly not. And that is another mm-hmm. reason why I pile this on top of everything else with regard to the royals and their claims that they are direct descendants of Jesus Christ or the tribe of David or the tribe of Dan.
But if you have AI and you've got companies like 23andMe, it's not at all difficult for them to say, oh, my gosh, you know, we've come across this long-lost bloodline, and whether it's Charles or William or Trump or whomever, it's like – they're actually related to him, and mm-hmm. then he sets up his temple in the throne of God
right.
With that legitimacy.
Well, see, that's the thing. Is it legitimate, though? What needs
well, –
okay, I had this argument with a friend, okay, and this is the argument I had. If we're to believe the Merovingian bloodline cult, if we are to believe the imperial cult, if we're to believe the royal bloodlines are royal and they lead over us, and if we believe what they believe with regard to – Mary and Jesus, Jesus not dying on the cross, but being saved, mm-hmm, going to mm-hmm. France, having children. If we are to believe this, then what this whole story, if it is to be sold to the people, basically destroys Christianity completely. And the reason mm-hmm. why is because the purpose of Christianity is the blood atonement. Without the blood atonement, there can be no Christianity. You understand that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because that is the saving ordinance that kept mankind from dying, okay? Mm-hmm. Through the grace of God, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ the Lord, this is what Christians believe is their saving grace, is his sacrifice. That God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoso mm-hmm. believeth in him, should not perish but have everlasting life, okay?
Right.
That is gone. Because what they're saying and what they're claiming is that no, the blood was not shed, but the blood was preserved in a number of chosen people. Yeah, in this bloodline, and these people are the ones that are being heralded as leaders over you. And they gain this power from the direct bloodline from who? Christ? But what makes him divine? It makes him divine that he showed us that not only was he a man, but he was a God, and that he was able to resurrect. If the resurrection did not happen, Christianity is nothing.
Correct, correct. And then you have the Mahdi. I think Jesus joins the Mahdi and says, no, everybody, you guys got it wrong, and he's supposed to convert them. Or with Project Blue Beam, where everybody sees their own savior in their culture, and, you know, they, again, it's like, no, you've misunderstood what's been taught to you.
Right.
Yeah, good show tonight, man, and I'll listen to you guys wherever you are. Man,
I appreciate that. Yeah, hopefully this is going to be a good transition. We didn't expect this betrayal, and now we have one, and we have to deal with it. And I'm glad that the listeners understand. I just hope they understand the pecking order. I am not. I'm just talent. I'm a brand. It's like Coca-Cola, right? They're selling Coca-Cola, and they decided, we just don't want Coca-Cola on the shelf anymore, and we're just basically going to screw your listeners and everybody else.
You're the original Coke. You're not the new Coke. You're the original
Coke. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Have a good night. Take care. Let's go to Mike in South Carolina. Hey, Mike, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, how's it going, Clyde?
Good, man.
Dan, Clyde, I love you, Jeff.
Thank
you. But you're killing me with this Dan.
The tribe of Dan.
I don't quite get. Yeah. Well, I don't quite get where they come from. Where are they supposed to be one of the original tribes of the children of Israel?
Well, yeah.
Dan?
Yeah, the tribe of Dan was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, it was named after, okay, you remember Jacob in the Bible? Jacob, it was named after Jacob's fifth son.
Well, wait a minute now. Let's not go there yet, because what I'm trying to tell you is in Revelation, starting at Revelation 7:5, and it goes all the way down, it names the 12 tribes. And Dan is not in there, so you just...
Well, Dan is one of the 12 tribes. If you do your research, you'll find it is. I mean, I know here... No. I'm not arguing with you, because I know that Dan is missing from the 144,000. You're right about that, okay? But if you read... the Old Testament, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Are you going from the King James Version?
Of course. Always.
Well, it's Benjamin, Reuben, Asa, Simeon, Rick, Levi, Joseph, Judah, Gad, Manasseh.
Where's Dan? Where's Dan?
He's going in Dan.
They didn't put Dan in the 144,000. I don't know why.
That's what I'm saying.
I have a theory. I have a theory. You ready for my theory? Okay. I have is that Dan was excluded because the early Christians had said, and this is me, you know, reading outside the Bible a little bit. Early Christians and even some of the rabbis were saying that the Antichrist would come from the tribe of Dan. If you go to Genesis 49:17. You look at the early church, and they believe the Antichrist would arise from the tribe of Dan. And I don't know if that's apocryphal or not, but all I know is that there is nothing in the Bible, as you say, that supports Dan as one of the 12 tribes. But it has been said that they are one of the 12 tribes.
Okay, these are by those who do not, they're non-believers, then.
Well, no, they could be apocryphal. No. It's not that they're non-believers. It's that they are, it's part of an apocryphal text. Now, I mean, I'm not saying that apocryphal texts need to be heeded, but I just said, you know, tribe of David, tribe of Dan, you know, it's like, that's the thing about the Antichrist, is that there are tribes that are mentioned that he needs to come from. And these are tribes that are also mentioned by the royals as being part of their bloodline.
Which just shows the word of God, because in Revelation, he tells us.
Well, if it's not the word of God, then what is it? If what they're saying is not the word of God, Mike, then what is it?
Well, the word of God tells us in Revelation that Antichrist comes in
right.
The sixth trump.
Okay, but what I'm saying is if they're making...
Out of heaven,
okay, what I'm...
The key to the bottom of the pit.
I'm not arguing against what you're saying. What I'm trying to do is prove you right, and that is that if it's not the word of God, then it's not the word of God, okay? That means that they're making it up, and that it's what? Anti-God, anti-Christ, correct?
Yes, it is.
That's why I make the argument that it's all part of the Antichrist kingdom, part of the Antichrist agenda. You're fading out, man. I'm sorry, but I think, you know, we're on the same page. I don't want to sound like I'm not on the same page with you. I am on the same page with you. It's just I'm giving you what I read before, and the tribe of Dan was one of those first that, if you read about idolatry, you know, it was Jacob's son. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. We'll be back. Let's face it, guys, we're living in times where the truth is becoming more suppressed and censorship is increasing at an alarming rate, especially on social media platforms. It's Clyde, and I want to tell you about a safe and secure digital playground we put together just for you. It's aftermath.media. You get access to thousands of Ground Zero archives and podcasts, along with our private social media groups with your basic membership starting at only $7 a month. Each subscription includes tech support, access to the RSS feeds, along with our own chat room and Telegram channel. In addition, the premium membership includes research study groups, webinars, a document and movie library, a live video stream of Ground Zero, a monthly Zoom chat with me, and other bonus content. Be sure to check out our yearly specials as well. Sign up today while you're thinking about it. Sign up at aftermath.media. Again, that's aftermath.media.
Spinning complacently in the darkness, covered and blinded by a blanket of little lives, false security has lulled the madness of this world into a slumber. Wake up. An eye is upon you, staring straight down and keenly through, seeing all that you are and everything that you can never be. Yes, an eye is upon you, an eye ready to blink. So face forward, with arms wide open and mind reeling. Your future has arrived. Are you ready to go?
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see you."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see
you." The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see you."
Give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number to call tonight, 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. You know, after the show with Tim Cohen, we were talking about the Antichrist. We were talking about the sphere of influence of Israel and the Great Britain and Mashiach and Benjamin Netanyahu and all this stuff. And some people, you know, they have a hard time with the bloodline thing. And you should, because it's confusing. It really is confusing. But I had to go back into the deep books, the grimoires. You know, I got some stuff. I blow the dust off every once in a while because I just want... I mean, this is stuff that you get down the rabbit hole and you just don't want to leave the rabbit hole. We know that there were secret blood kin, and I named off the families, the blood families. One particular is the Collins elite, and I want to focus on them because, well, the Colin, or the Quilain word, means coiling of a snake or a serpent, coiling in the woods, a physician, healing, and remember the symbol of the caduceus, which is the winged serpent around the bar. Well, that's basically the same thing. And so as you're going down the rabbit hole, the closer you get to the ultimate secret, that is, we're facing an extinction-level event at the hands of dimensional entities. And there's some that want to bring those entities closer to us. There's some that have already experimented with that. And like I say, we had, what, the Vril, which were the Nazi witches that summoned these beings. We had a massive American seance by the elite called the Nine. And Babylon Working, that was conducted by Marjorie Cameron, Jack Parsons, and L. Ron Hubbard. They were trying to bring the Moonchild into the world. So all these mystical workings were there to summon fallen angels or demons. Now, this is where it gets difficult, because like I say, I like to separate my angels from my demons, right? I like to separate, you know, but the idea of creating an incarnate evil entity, bringing that into the world, and having it appear to be sylph-like, balding with gray skin, large eyes. These were called the secret chiefs by well-groomed occultists. Gene Roddenberry, you may know him, he's the guy that created Star Trek. Well, he was a young and broke science fiction writer that was hired by a group called Lab 9. And Lab 9 dealt with the more esoteric aspects of alien contact. They knew of the Nazi secret programs where they were channeling the Vril. Lab 9 also claimed that they have contacted the Council of Nine, which were a group of alien overseers or gods with little g's. Now, these alien overseers had told a group of elite that they would soon return to planet Earth in the future. The nine claimed to be creators of mankind, and they informed the intuitives they'd be returning to Earth. And it was odd that in 1952, it was 1952 when there was the channeling of the nine, there was a turning point in American mythos of UFOs and alien mythologies. It was the era of the infamous swarm of UFOs over the United States, the Capitol. It was around the time we started hearing about abduction scenarios, visitations by these beings. And Gene Roddenberry was actually asked by a former race car driver, Sir John Whitmore, who had ties to these off-world channelers, to write a screenplay based on the Council of Nine's return to planet Earth. So Lab Nine, this group, this strange group, flew Roddenberry out to their headquarters in New York, Ossining, New York. And there, Roddenberry met and interviewed several psychics, which helped inspire the script. But the problem is that when Roddenberry wrote the script, it didn't satisfy Lab Nine. And so he was ordered to do several rewrites about the Council of Nine. Roddenberry actually met with the BBC to pitch this idea, and it was rejected, and some of his ideas were used for the TV series Space 1999. Roddenberry eventually met with those who worked with the Pentagon, where he heard about Project Paperclip, where Americanized Nazis brought with them the knowledge of a hidden order of priests and priestesses who perfected the use of mesmerism and mind control thousands of years before the CIA brought us the MKUltra groups and other forms of mental manipulation. We're calling that the Vril, the witches of the Nazis. They were able to conjure these types of alien beings. Interesting, though, that Roddenberry eventually did write something called Deep Space Nine. And it talked about, of course, an area, a bar, really, that was run and all these different alien beings existed, indicating that the Vril and the Nine were able to conjure or at least bring interdimensional beings interdimensional meetings with people or with extraterrestrials, ultra-terrestrial, secret chiefs, whatever you want to call them. So the Collins elite, this family of bloodline here, they were already well briefed on these entities and formed a solid affront to any and all discussions about them and started the rumor that any and all alien entities were a deception and were conjured in satanic gatherings. I finally found the origin story of the aliens and the fallen angels, coming from the Collins elite. Also, Ron Patton, my producer and well-known author and publisher of the magazine Paranoia, wrote an article called The Alien in Angel's Clothing, I think that's what they called it. I think it was called The Alien Angel's Clothing, where he talked about the alien angel concept. So this hidden order, this Collins elite, gave us the concept shared in the mystery religions, codified the rites of sacrifice, centralized access to extra-dimensional entities, and were responsible for creating the concepts that are given to us about the angels, the fairies, the fae, everything, and concepts about angels in the Bible. Everything that manipulated the sacred text talks about angels, fallen angels, and demons, and aliens. So those of us who are well versed in the occult or read about conspiracy occult scenarios, we know of the sages and the shaman, and we know the secret chiefs, and they're literally those who watch over the planet, the Grigori, talked about in Genesis 6, right? So if we're to believe in the power of these seances that we heard about the nine, about the secret chiefs, about the Vril, and if we know that they're able to transmit their wishes to the elite, use cataclysmic cycles as a means to push evolutionary growth and establish an empire using the intelligence community. They are acting literally without any notions of morality. They do what they think needs to be done, and that means killing people, causing people to go broke, starving people. I mean, listen, the crusade for a global structure is necessary, according to them, because they have to eliminate any or all competing systems. And if the promise of the secret chiefs is to be revealed, disclosure, there's a covenant with that, sealed in the blood, and that's at the hand of the crusade of the New World Order. So there is some connection to disclosure and the New World Order, but it's very vague because of the secret organizations that are behind the revelation of the method. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back over Ground Zero. Don't go away. First announcement I made about the situation with Aftermath.media, I know a lot of people are concerned. We are very concerned as well. For those of you that don't know, there were many Aftermath subscribers, members, that received a letter from Rob Davenport, who is the head of Rovitix Media. He's the guy that is behind the Rovitix Media. They basically host Aftermath, and They have maintained our website and digital platform for over 4 years. And this letter indicated that I wanted to shut down Aftermath on March 1st. That is not true. This is what it says in the letter. It says, "We want to inform you that Ground Zero Radio and Aftermath Media will officially shut down on March 1st, 2025. The show is not going away, by the way. He has taken upon himself to do this, and we were in a negotiation situation. He says in the letter, Clyde Lewis indicated that March 1st, 2025 would be the appropriate shutdown date, and we are honoring that decision. That is a lie. I did not approve this at all. He says you'll have full access to your account and all available content until February 29th, 2025. That's a lie. Tonight, if you go to the Ground Zero chat, it's unavailable. That is part of your subscription. It is not available. He is lying about that. He says, due to existing contractual obligations, no refunds will be issued. There are no contractual obligations with regard to refunds. This is you being ripped off by someone who doesn't care about you. I'm being ripped off by someone who doesn't even care about me. He didn't care about previous hosts. He doesn't really care. And this is the hard part for us because I'm going to take it upon myself to make sure that we satisfy the subscriptions and that we let you know where our new platform is. We have a lot of people on our side. We have a lot of people that are behind this because they know that we have been betrayed. They know that we have been victimized by something that I see as immoral, something I see as illegal. But we want to be upfront and transparent about how many members we have on Aftermath. We want records. We want things that match up. We want financial totals. But sadly, they will not give us an audit of any of this. So the bottom line is that I really care about my listeners. I care about members of the Ground Zero community that have kept me alive, literally alive. Okay, I mean that. All right? You've kept me literally alive. You know that I've been having a few health problems, but I've overcome a lot of them because you have helped me get there. And it just breaks my heart to hear someone like this abusing their position and putting us in a situation where we're going to have to move quickly to satisfy those of you that had faith in us. Please don't see this as something that we're doing. It's something that someone else has done to us, and we're going to try and make good on it. So I want to let you know this. I want to let you know that if you want to ask any questions about what's going on, Ron has set up an email, groundzeroron@gmail.com. groundzeroron@gmail.com. We'd like to get your name. We'd like to get your email, and we'd like to know what the expiration date is on your subscription, if you want to give that, so that we can at least, you know, we can find a way to either refund the money or we can bring it over to a new format that we are going to be, that we're trying to put together, that we were putting together, and we were in a negotiation with Rovitix, but they immediately did this without our consent. We were still in the meeting. We were still in a, uh, what they we were still in negotiations to try and figure this out, and then all of a sudden, bam, we get this surprise. So this is just as much of a surprise for us as it is for you. And I'm going to keep addressing this and keep you updated on what's going on because I think this is very important. I want to also call upon a friend of mine who is calling the program right now. His name is Mark Masters. If you want to know who Mark Masters is the godfather, the OG of conservative talk radio. He's a good friend of ours, and it's good to have him in our corner. Mark Masters, welcome to Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde.
Hey.
I was just listening to all that. I don't mean to laugh. I understand there's a lot of drama here, but people don't realize this is just standard operating procedure for the network radio, the sort of the podcasting world and the power plays of negotiation. That's how I view it, and it just seems I just don't want anybody to be too worried about you because this is really a small part of your future.
Yeah.
And I do, you know, look, here's what I'd like people to know. Let me just express this. I don't want to go into these issues because I think it's just adolescent behavior right now.
I agree.
It's just adolescent. I don't attribute things to negative. I'd rather suspect that people that do these sorts of things maybe never had a mentor and they just think this is what business is because they watch too many HBO TV shows about how business people are so aggressive. It actually takes a lot of courage to be kind in business. It takes a lot of it's really easy to be cruel. It's really easy to be brutal when you're in executive position because that's what I did for 25 years. I built 7 of the 10 biggest syndicated shows in the United States. But the first show that my company ever built was a guy named Art Bell. Yes. Our company launched the Art Bell Show 30 years ago, essentially. And when we found Art Bell, he was getting paid $24,000 a year, and he was living in Pahrump, Nevada, in his trailer. And he had this beautiful voice and this love and passion. And when we decided to syndicate him, everybody told us, that'll never work. It'll never work. There's no money in nighttime radio. Nobody will buy your ads. Everybody said in the radio industry, Art Bell, you're crazy. You're wasting your money. We went on, that Art Bell show went on to have a 15 share at night. And there's only one heir apparent to Art Bell. And it's the guy you're listening to this night. I mean that. Yeah. I don't have to say that. I don't need to say that.
Thank you.
I'm happily retired from syndication, which is a brutal business, but I also built the Fox News radio division for Roger Ailes. I was Roger's personal media advisor for the last 15 years of his life. I've advised presidents. I built the Michael Savage show. He worked for me for 14 years. Laura Ingraham, she worked for me for 11 years. But the one thing that started my company, started the company that gave birth to all those other shows, was the Art Bell Show. And the one thing we know better than anything is paranormal radio. And here's the thing I want to tell all of you. If Art Bell was alive today, he would be so happy that all of the things that have happened in the last 3 months in New Jersey, all of the disclosure issues are coming up, he wouldn't know what to do with himself. But God rest his soul, he's not here. And there's only one heir apparent, and I'm not saying this to butter you up. I don't need to. Anybody who listens to this show, I'm a fan of the show. My partners are fans of the show. It's a funny thing. But the truth is, why isn't – I was talking to my friend the other day. I mean, Clyde Lewis, why didn't Premier put him on? Why didn't Westwood One? These are big syndicators. And people don't realize there's a whole gamut of political butt-kissing you have to do in order to get certain opportunities. I was an independent syndicator. I had the biggest independent network in the United States, 46 million listeners a week between 22 syndicated shows. We had 7 of the 10 biggest shows. And I want you all to know that 2025 is the year of disclosure and how anybody doesn't see how valuable you are in the year of disclosure with Trump in office is unbelievable. Unbelievable. But I'm just telling you.
Do you
the biggest you're gonna be the biggest overnight show in America And if you'll let me, I'll help you do it.
Hold on a second. Do you want to be held
right
over?
Now.
You want to be held over for a few minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to hold. I'm going to put you on hold. Mark Masters with us tonight on Ground Zero. He's the guy that gave Art Bell his shot, and he's called in to give us his support. Man, I got a lot to take in. We'll be back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
I was 8 years old. 5 hours disappeared from my life. 5 hours lost, gone without a trace. 5 hours lost. 5 hours.
John seems not even a year old yet. They just screwed up some more of the lightning last week. Oh, your father's going to be overjoyed about this.
What time is Dad getting home?
Not for that at all, at least, honey.
Mom! Deborah! Come look! It's a UFO!
Oh, please. It's just a weather balloon or something.
No! Look what it's doing to the TV! It's flying over the house! Let's go up on the roof!
No! Wait! Children, be careful!
That summer, those were the two things I'll never forget. The cramped, stale darkness across space. Equal power and mystery. A UFO out there somewhere, traveling across the universe.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. We have a an unexpected guest show up, Martin Masters, who, as I've said, is the OG of talk radio, conservative talk radio. Ben Shapiro, you know, Michael Savage, Laura Ingram. He's been with the greats, and he's here tonight, and I'm very I'm flattered that he's on the program to talk to me about. Now, you were saying something about, now, what were you saying about Art Bell? Like, what were you saying about him?
Well, in fairness, I want to make just two qualifiers. Ben Shapiro worked for me for 2 years, and I did introduce him to Jeremy Boring, and they went on to form the Daily Wire. Ben, I would like to think, learned a lot about contracts and how to deal with talent and be, you know, fair and kind, and
yeah,
is the way you're supposed to be, because you're partners. When you're a syndicator, you're partners with your talent. Basically, that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
And there's another philosophy, which is sort of the old network world, where you have a big cigar and you wear a suit and you act like you're powerful, and that never works out well. So I always wanted to be clear. Ben's success is his own, completely separate from me. And Jeremy, they're good guys, but I did put them together. I do want to also make one other qualifier. My father, God rest his soul, Roy Masters, many of you know who he is. He's got a beautiful English voice. He dedicated his life to helping people get off of drugs, medication, and develop mindfulness techniques so they could have personal sovereignty in their own lives. He had the vision to make a deal with Art Bell. So Art Bell's the only show that I didn't sign. My dad signed it 30 years ago, him and a guy named Alan Corbett. And if it wasn't for Art Bell, the entire paranormal world blew up because of him. And you could hear Art Bell 20 places on the air at night. It was funny because when we sold that show in 1998, within 2 months after we sold the show, Art quit. And we were afraid, we were all afraid Premier would want all its money back. You guys all remember that.
Mm.
But the reality is the amount, the different replacement hosts they put in at Premier, which we didn't own the show anymore. We know those shows wouldn't work. Those hosts wouldn't work. And we're like, why aren't they putting Clyde Lewis on? He's the heir apparent. So I just wanted to make those qualifiers. But with that said, I did go on to build seven of the other, of the 10 biggest shows, syndicated shows in America. I helped Andrew Breitbart. First person Andrew called was me when he started Breitbart.com, and I called Roger Ailes at Fox, and I convinced Roger to put the Acorn story, the eight-part Acorn story, which would go on to make Breitbart huge. And I also was good friends with Roger Ailes, who they tried to defame and destroy. My company, along with Breitbart and Roger, were all targeted by the left. And now we're all seeing the revelations from the Doge thing, how the Doge money is actually used to finance all these crazy groups and opposing media. And the way the left destroys free speech is they defund everybody. So I want everybody to understand that the person, Clyde Lewis, is perhaps the most talented host for Theater of the Mind since Art Bell, period. And I feel like just listening to all this, I just want to make a suggestion. And if anybody wants to know who I am, just go to my website, markmastersconsulting.com. You can see my history. I called my partner, and I said, who's a big fan of yours? And I said, look, can we help this guy? And we'd like to offer, if this continues, we'd like to offer to get behind you if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a call tomorrow. And I think I'll be able to fix this with Rob Davenport and Robodex by Friday. That's what I think. If you want me to do it, I'll do it.
Sure, I'd love you to do it.
Because if he is, if this guy is really saying, I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. It's just, this is, I've done this for 30 years. He just could be, you know, a little adolescent. That's it. I don't want to suggest any evil motives here. I don't, you know, I'm still learning more about all this. I want to suggest that maybe he's watched too many HBO shows about how business is done. The truth is business has to be done in a caring, competent way. Elon Musk talks about this. He said, in government, you have to have caring, or any endeavor, caring and competence. If you have caring, you have good relationships with the customers, but you might not make money. If you have competence, maybe you're not a nice guy, but your customers are still happy and you make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have neither caring nor competence, then it makes the host look bad. And this is a situation where I feel like you're a gold brick laying on the street being kicked by people. And you are going to be, this is my prediction, and I hate making these predictions, but I want to be able to do it because there's no one else. You're going to be the biggest paranormal show in America by December 31st, 2025. Period.
Wow.
That's my offer.
Wow.
I want to help you. I want to help you because...
I'm shaking, man. I don't know what to say.
Well, I'll tell you what. People don't realize the streaming subscription is just a small subset of what you do. You're on radio stations across the country. People
right.
don't realize that.
Yeah.
This is a tempest in a teapot to me. I know it's a big deal to you and your subscribers, but what I think, this is, I'm just going to give you my thoughts after hearing what you say, because I was listening for the last 20 minutes. I'm a fan. Did this guy really say he's not going to give your subscribers their money back? Did he really say that?
Yeah, he said that. Yeah.
Okay.
And so he still owes
really
me
simple.
Money, too. He owes me money. He hasn't, he hasn't paid me in full.
So it's simple. You know, either he should give the subscribers their money back, or he should deliver, we should give them a feed, continue on the show till June 30th, so that the subscribers get what they bargained for. They get you. I'll fix it. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about this. I do believe I'll fix this, and I think I'd rather chalk it up to adolescent behavior on his part than any venial motive. Maybe this is just – maybe sometimes people have advisors around say, you got to be tough. You got to do this. Look, this can be fixed because you are going to be huge with or without this fella, and there could be a good way of amicable way of parting company,
right,
and transitioning what we could do for you.
Well, Mark, I really appreciate you taking the time. I appreciate you listening to the program. And, yeah, we'll be in touch.
I'm a fan.
Well, I appreciate
that.
I'm really, really appreciative of all you're doing. And your vote of confidence is really, like I said, I'm shaking right now. I don't know what to say. But we're going to do show.
Look, can we just get on the phone tomorrow with John and do a deal?
We'll do a deal. Okay. I appreciate that.
All right.
I'll talk to you tomorrow then.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. We'll be back with more. Don't go away. In California. Hey, Carlos, you're on Ground Zero.
Well, I hope everything goes well for you, Clyde.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You gave that email. Was that to join the new platform, the email you gave?
No, the email is, it's groundzerorun@gmail.com, and that email is given if you have any questions about your subscription, if you have any questions about whether or not we're going to carry it over, whether or not we're going to get refunds. Like I said, he may not be offering refunds, but if we have to offer refunds, we're either going to offer refunds or we're going to find a way to carry you over to the new platform. And so I just want to make sure that everybody is taken care of. Because like I say, this is an attack on the listener. It's not an attack on me. I mean, sure, I have a lot of things I have to deal with that he is not, fulfilled. But in process, though, I want to make sure the listener is taken care of, and that's all that's important at the moment, because it's one of the things that, when I first heard about this, I was thinking, wait a minute, I didn't approve of any of this, and he's making it sound like I did. I just want to be clear. I didn't approve any of this. This is nothing I did not give my approval. In fact, we were still in a negotiation point between lawyers and between people, and he just all of a sudden decided, well, this is how I'm going to do it, and Clyde approves. No, I don't. And that's what I mean, transparency is something that I believe in, and that is a lie. He also said that people have access to the materials until the 29th of February or March 1st or whatever. I don't know what he means. But tonight, you can't go into the Aftermath chat because he shut it down. And I'm sure there are other things that you can't use either because he's just decided, like Mark had said, it's an adolescent move. I don't know what's going on, but it just seems to be out of the ordinary.
Well, a lot of people care for you, Clyde.
I appreciate that very much.
I'm sure you're going to do well, whatever happens. But you're going to be posting the info on how to join your new platform, right?
Exactly, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, great. Because I like to join. I wasn't able to join your previous platform or your existing platform because I throw with my credit card, but I'll be joining.
Next time I'm
going to be joining.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you, Carlos.
By the way, you're one of
our favorite listeners in the chat and Aftermath. So, yes, the sooner you sign up, the better, because people want to talk to you off the air as well as on. So go ahead.
Yeah, great. I'll be doing that. These blonde lines are very intriguing. Did the Templars and the Priory of Zion keep tabs? I understand they were there to preserve the bloodline of David.
Well, okay. Are you familiar with Renly Chateau, the place where they believe that they found the remains of Mary, and they think that maybe Jesus was buried there too? I know that Tracy Twyman had done a lot of interesting information on King Dagobert. But, of course, Renly Chateau is where that priest found all that information about the Catholic Church and all of a sudden became very wealthy because there was a secret there. And the secret was that, again, you go back to the Merovingian bloodline cult, basically saying that Jesus did not die on the cross, which we know that if that's the truth, then there's no reason for Christianity, that he sired children when he went to Gaul, which is now France, and those children became the royals. Now, if those royals want to declare themselves gods or Rex Mundi or whatever, that's where I tell you this is the plot of the Antichrist. This is where I say if it's not promoting the atonement, if it's not promoting Christianity, it's got to be Antichrist. And so these guys are the ones that are pushing these mythologies, and this is why Tim Cohen was on the show the other night. This is why he believes that King Charles is the Antichrist. I believe, though, that he's too old and that he will die and that William will inherit all this. And there are plenty of other ways to show or to at least look into the idea that he is.
Well, some of these bloodlines that I read about, the Tudors, the Habsburgs, the Plantagenets, the Sinclairs, the Lorraines, were they part of the Merovingian bloodline? I'm confused with
Well, they're all part of the royal. They're all part of the royal bloodline and the direct line from the dragon. So we've got the dragon. In fact, you remember that King Charles said, "Not only am I part of the tribe of David or the tribe of Dan or whichever tribe you want to attribute him to," he said he was also related to Vlad Tepes. Now, who's Vlad Tepes? Count Dracula. He said that he was. There was a bloodline directly to the son of the dragon, which is Dracul, which is Count Dracula, Vlad Tepes, who is the son of Dracul. So, I mean, either way, you're looking at someone who considers himself a king, a leader, a divine leader of divine right. Remember I told you that he had special anointing waters and oils from the River Jordan that were given to him, and that he was taking the sphere and he was carrying it around. And then, of course, the Pope, for some reason, decided to give him shavings from, allegedly, the cross where Jesus was crucified. Now, why is that? Something is not right here. I mean, this is blasphemy, if anything, and that's where I come off saying what I say, because it is blasphemy. If you are a Christian and you're being told that your Savior, your Christ, your God did not die on a cross, then your religion, yeah, nothing. It's nothing then. And so they've gone in and they basically rewrote the script, and they want you to believe that they're Christ on earth and not the other way around.
Well, I kind of sense that all these different bloodlines have some kind of demonic essence to them.
Well, a lot of them are. They go back all the way to the Egyptian, the pagan timelines. And so who makes them king? Who you know, that whole idea of who died and made you king? Well, what bloodline makes you different or at least better or lesser than anyone else? That's the thing that really gets me is the only person, and I remember when I was a kid, I'd always say this, the only perfect person, divine person that ever walked the earth was Jesus. And so if you're telling me that you're like Jesus, then I'm telling you that you are a blasphemer and you certainly deserve what you get.
Yeah, well, are these bloodlines messengers then for Lucifer trying to sabotage God's perfect creation?
Well, are you familiar with the Cross of Lorraine?
I've heard about the Cross of Lorraine, but yeah, I've heard about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the Cross of Lorraine,
I don't know much about it.
Well, it's the double cross. It's a cross that has a line through it, and it has another line through it.
Right, I've seen it, yeah.
And that's supposed to be symbolic of both the blood of Christ and the blood of Lucifer. And it comes from the French and Merovingian bloodlines and blood cults.
Wow, very interesting. And by the way, an anecdote. Martin Luther King was killed at the Lorraine Hotel.
I didn't know that. Let me read
so
you something.
You
this is, okay, I don't know if you're into the Holy Grail, but that's like I said, I went back and read the deep books, Holy Grail, Holy Blood. This is a poem about the Cross of Lorraine, and tell me what they're trying to tell you in this poem. It says, "The arms of Jesus are the Cross of Lorraine, both the blood in the arteries and the blood in the vein, both the source of grace and the clear fountain. The arms of Satan are the Cross of Lorraine, and the same arteries and the same vein, and the same blood and the same troubled fountain." Meaning that you have both Satan and you have Jesus or God in the same mingled bloodline. The bloodline of Satan on the Cross of Lorraine, the bloodline of Jesus, the Cross of Lorraine. They are the arms that welcome in the multidimensional Messiah.
Well, what they're saying is that God is both good and evil, right? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah.
There's a mixture there.
But is that what the Bible teaches? Is that what?
No.
So what does that not. What does that make it? It makes it anti-God, anti-life, anti-Christ. That's my argument. And that's
you're
the
right.
That's the
you're
basic
right.
argument, actually. So Carlos,
you're right, really right.
I appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet. That's my basic argument. Otherwise, I can go into more symbolism. I can go into lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, dragons on flags, dragons in the marketplace of Britain, and, you know, that's where I come up with my theory. You can check it out. It's bizarre. 503-225-2255. 0860. That's 503-225-0860. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back.
Talk Radio, you'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Far down a journey where getting lost is the only true destination. For the past, present, and future all coexist on the same timeline. For happiness is an illusion. This is the future we are in right now. When our phones are the first thing that we touch when we wake up, the last thing we touch before falling asleep. Radiant. Seductive screens we so lovingly and endlessly gaze upon. Much like you're enduring right now. All welcome to a future where our true reflection is only revealed once the screen goes dark. Welcome to the darkness. I hope you find it enlightening.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "The loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said."
Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. So when you're looking at all the narratives with regard to the New World Order, you look at all the narratives with regard to the alien question, disclosure, Mark Masters was on the show saying that this would be the year of disclosure. There's a crusade for global structure, and that global structure wants to be had by some group or individual that sees themselves as a leader over you. They have the right bloodline to prove it. They want to eliminate all competing systems. So the promise of the secret chiefs is to be revealed. I'm talking about the secret chiefs being the so-called interdimensional, ultra-terrestrial beings, okay? So the covenant has been sealed for eons, at least from a Gnostic perspective. And everything I'm talking about, as opposed to what you would believe as a Christian, is, I'd say this is all Gnostic teaching. It's Hermetic Arcanum, okay? And this is why it is assumed that there is a window of opportunity for these beings to return, and that would be soon, because we're hearing a lot about it, right? But the environment of the planet needs to be changed in order for them to remain a long period of time, or at least in our realm of existence. That's why I think you're hearing about the craze working towards lowering CO2 levels, running everything with a cleaner energy situation, and so goes the theory. They're prepping the planet for the arrival of these alien beings, or they're prepping the planet so these alien beings can live in harmony with us. So the rite of disclosure, or the revelation of aliens among us, is allegedly being stalled by the elitist families that I've been talking about, who are reticent of revealing that perhaps many of the entities spoken of by whistleblowers may have been the result of conjuring demons in various seances during the Cold War. And I'm talking about those rituals. L. Ron Hubbard, Jack Parsons, Marjorie Cameron, the Nine, Lab Nine, the Vril, who were conjuring aliens for Hitler. I mean, that is if you believe these secret groups do their magic and do their black magic. And see, this is where I believe that we get this notion that aliens are the fallen ones. A fear that has been used to stop any and all discussion about aliens is they may be a product of advanced witchcraft that was practiced by the likes of Aleister Crowley, John Dee, Edward Kelly, go down the list of magicians. In fact, if you look up Lam, that's L-A-M. Look up Lam. He's a character that Crowley, and there's another one named Iwas, A-I-W-A-S-S, or A-S. Both these beings that Crowley claimed that he summoned look like alien beings. He summoned them from interdimensional worlds. Okay. These are the same type of beings we were told by Geordie Rose and others who would be conjured up using D-Wave computers and, you know, nanotech. So, we've heard the idea many times that the aliens that have been visiting the planet are, in fact, fallen angels. We hear that they are here to deceive and turn people's minds away from God. I don't necessarily believe that. But when you look at this, the resurgence of mainstream UFO interest is a positive development, even if some of the figures are hijacking the exposure for their own agendas. Last year, we had the congressional panel on UFOs and UAP. They spent most of the afternoon analyzing the observables. Of the phenomenon and how fast the objects move, whether they interfered with nuclear weapons, and if any physical evidence had been recovered. The questions, of course, were predictable and nothing groundbreaking was revealed, unfortunately. However, there was a question that was asked by Congresswoman Anna Luna of Florida's 13th District that shook the crowd out of their sleepy meeting, and she said this. She said, quote, "Do any of you ever come across reports from people that claim to have first-hand experiences with these entities, whatever they might be, or these aircraft? And then as a result, whether or not they're religious, find that these things automatically disappear." And then later she said, "The reason I ask this is because it seems like, just based on our conversations that we've had, people say that there are good and bad, or whatever these beings are, they're good and bad ones." Oh, yes. Okay. This, of course, was a very well choreographed question that simply bordered on the alien demon thing, right? The alien demon theories that have gripped mainstream Christianity. Now, some interpret UFOs as angelic manifestations, but angels aren't always love and light, right? Christianity allows for both good and bad angels, and it's the bad ones who propagate the UFO deception as a way to distance people from God, according to many Christians. So the idea that invoking religious symbols can ward off supernatural forces is something that I've heard people say many times. From exorcisms to abductions, anecdotal accounts suggest that some entities can be repelled by just saying, "I tell you to go in Jesus' name, not today, alien being. You know, I may the spirit of Christ compel UFO," something, okay? That's Representative Luna hinting that this is when she asked if UFOs automatically disappear if you call out or use a religious symbol like a cross or something. So there are a lot of people that have similar views. There's Marjorie Taylor Greene. She told The Hill, she says, "I think we have to question if it's more of the spiritual realm, angels or fallen angels," talking about aliens. Tucker Carlson also shared his beliefs on the topic with Joe Rogan. He called the phenomenon spiritual, with entities split into team good or team bad. One of November's congressional witnesses, a former DOD employee, Louis Elizondo, touched on this overlap between government, theology, and UFOs in his recent book. It was called Imminent, is the book. And he tells how official UFO investigators were stymied by a powerful circle of religious fundamentalists operating inside the Pentagon. Who was it that stopped or stymied the investigation, or at least the revelation of the method or the revelation of the UFOs? That's right, the notorious Collins elite. That's what was said. That's what Lou has said, that the Collins elite were behind shutting down investigations because I'm sure they are worried that many of these entities are conjured. Ultimately, the panel had no answers, leaving us with little insight about all the questions about this, what their intent is. And so, is this not only a security threat, but a spiritual threat? A lot of people tell me, yes, Clyde, it's a huge deception. But that's just steering us in a very narrow perspective of some intriguing, wonderful insights as to what the extraterrestrial agenda is all about and what it means for humanity. 503-225-0860. That's 503-225-0860. Back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away. Phone calls, and then, but certainly I want to emphasize, I am not ignoring the demonic hypothesis, because that really seems to be a recurring theme in this latest round of disclosure. And as such, I hate that it seems to be this narrow steer on what is a rich and intriguing theme in the overlap between elements of the UFO phenomenon and historic accounts of demonic manifestations. There are differences. But we do have histories of conjuring. Okay, we have histories of conjuring these types of beings. Like I said, you can't deny history, especially when the elite are known for experimenting with powers that are capable of bringing into this world entities that have no explanation. We don't know where they're from. They're outer space, ultra-terrestrials from inside the Earth, from outside the Earth. But it is prudent to keep an open mind. Is it prudent to say that they're all demonic? I mean, if we apply the multiverse theory here, there's a lot of things we can think about. And if we accept that there are alternative or alternate dimensions in space-time, that means we should be able to accept beings from those alternate dimensions. And I believe that labeling them demonic destroys any and all intrigue in scientific inquiry. Passing the alien phenomena is just another in a series of spiritual events that mankind claims it has experienced. If that's all it is, then why the inquiries? Again, if it is a threat to national security, then we also have to consider it being a threat to spiritual security. Am I right? Okay. I don't know. Let me just 503-225-0860. I want to go to Melissa calling in from South Carolina. Hey, Melissa, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. Thank you for all of your shows over the past few weeks. Very informative. And I have to say very clearly, I'm not calling about what you were just talking about or in the last text that you were describing. I'm calling in reference to the previous hour and the bloodline aspect of the Antichrist and what you were kind of ending with the, I think you started with the Cross of Lorraine that had Lucifer and the poem from Holy Blood, Holy Grail. I read Holy Blood, Holy Grail. I'm 72, so I read it when it was in the 1980s, probably when it first came out in paperback. So I read it a long time ago. And I will tell you, that book impressed me because I was very heavy into my spiritual journey, as I know you've been through as well. And as a Catholic, it referenced so many things that I kind of knew about but never understood because we were not allowed to read the Bible as Catholics. We have the Missal. They pulled out certain things from the Bible that we were allowed to read every year. The same canon of the Mass is what it was called. So we never were exposed to the Bible and all the incredible things. And so when I called and talked to your producer, I was explaining that we were reading also the Bible from St. Jerome and the Douay and there's another layer to that. And then what most modern Christians read are originally the St. James version after Martin Luther's version. But these are all different and they conflict and all sorts of things like that. But what Holy Blood, Holy Grail did to me was show me bibliography and footnotes that referenced other texts and other historical things. And when we talk about the bloodline of Jesus, and that's where the Cross of Lorraine, where he was a demon, he was Lucifer and God, and blah, blah, blah. I just say people can say anything they want, but right. what was coming out early in Holy Blood, Holy Grail talked about the Fisher Kings, the Merovingian yes. bloodline of Jesus, and the Catholic Bible says, he didn't have brothers and sisters or a mother and father. He had cousins, and they wanted to decrease any humanity of his and make him separate. And then what happened in the King James Version, no, James was his brother, and he had other brothers and sisters and cousins and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And so what I think happened early on was the Merovingian line was that considered to be that sacred bloodline of Jesus and his offspring, even yes. if he didn't have offspring, even if he didn't marry Mary Magdalene, which I think they did and had children. That doesn't offend me. Yeah. I find that to be thrilling. But even if they didn't marry and have children, Sir Lawrence Gardner's books, his early books, mm-hmm. you would love them, Clyde, because he goes deep into that. But anyway.
Well, Lawrence Gardner and several others like him have made these connections with bloodlines then and ultra-terrestrials and other things. It's interesting it's an interesting combination because it's just, again, it's either national security we're dealing with or spiritual security we're dealing with, and that's what makes it fascinating.
Clyde, that's what I'm saying. I'm not going there. I'm going back just to the physical. The physical bloodline was yeah. a sacred heavenly being who came here, and that they're trying to use him. They're trying to right. change the facts. The Merovingian kings were Fisher kings, according to the documentation in Holy Blood, Holy Grail. That bloodline were the benevolent leaders. They weren't from outer space. They weren't, and I think we're all part of alien beings. Mm-hmm. I'm totally all on board that we're
created
by Elohim, not a god, the Elohim in Many. Genesis,
yeah.
gods, mm-hmm. the gods, yeah, plural. And I learned that in a Presbyterian Bible study, two-year Bible study. So anyway, fascinating stuff out there that nobody's getting, but that was so meaningful to me. The Fisher King concept means God came and God became man and became one of us and lived amongst us to experience the physical thing, so there was credibility there.
Mm.
To me, that's a very positive thing. Mm. But then what they have done now with the Merovingians and the Cross of Lorraine, I have that French heritage, the Alsace-Lorraine, which goes back and forth between German and French all the time.
Yeah.
But I think that a lot of these sources are using and abusing and trying to blend things together and muddy the waters and take down the
right.
beauty that
Well, you know what? You know why they're doing it, right? Because they want to give you the idea that there is a God among you today, and there is an equivalent of a God that's among you today that receives oils and water from the River Jordan and receives shavings from the original cross that Christ hung on, and that's King Charles III. And that's the thing that bothers Tim Cohen, and that's the thing that bothers me, only that Cohen stops at Charles. I don't. I move forward to William because I just believe that William has said many times that he does not honor his father's beliefs, which means that the Anglican Church is something that he doesn't consider to be anything he wants to be a part of. So what does he want? He wants to turn the church over to the armies. He wants to turn the church over to what? The new spherical, I guess, creation of Rome or Londinium or Babylondon. I don't know what you want to call it, but it just seems to me that this sphere of interest in Israel, this sphere of interest that is between the Brits and Trump and all this, has to be curious about what the next moves are towards the building of the temple, the Templars, and everything else that seem to be coming back again. And somebody had asked me about Hegseth and what his tattoos were. And if you look, he has a Jerusalem cross, a huge one tattooed on his body.
I love Tim Cohen. That was so thrilling to me. And what you're saying about Hegseth and all of these things, Clyde, what we're dealing with is the good, I call it the good Masons, the good believers who are on the side of God in man and goodness. And then versus the other side, that Luciferian thing that's trying to usurp and change everything. And so you've done a great job of clarifying so much of this, but this does go back to Holy Blood, Holy Grail.
Yes.
And there's something really demonic going on in that book. I mean, it's chilling to read that book.
Oh, yeah, and that's why if you read that book, you'll have a little bit more of an enlightening experience as to why I say what I say. Because a lot of people go, how does Clyde come up with that idea? Well, I come up with that idea first from Tim Cohen and Holy Blood, Holy Grail, which I read long before I met Tim and talked with Tim. And there were other people who were analyzing the coat of arms, the dragon, all these different things that point to the possibility. It's always a possibility that I could be wrong, but I just feel within my bones that if anyone was to produce something out of the bloodline, it would be something from the royal family and the European dragon, I guess you call it the dragon bloodline, if you will. 503-225-0860. It's 503-225-0860. Back in the Ground Zero. Don't go away.
Where is my mind? Where is my mind? Where is my mind?
Coming to light about a secret FBI working group that allegedly investigates unidentified aerial phenomena, or also known as UAPs, UFOs. It's the first time that the group has ever been publicly disclosed, according to Politico. That claim coming from former Navy pilot Ryan Graves. If you remember, he was the first active duty pilot to come forward about regular sightings of UAPs.
The United States government has gathered a great deal of information about UAPs over many decades, but has refused to share it with the American people. That is wrong, and additionally, it breeds mistrust. It is really an outrage the House didn't work with us in adopting our proposal for review. Now it means that declassification of UAP records will be largely up to the same entities that have blocked, obfuscated their disclosure for decades.
Look, I think what Senator Schumer has said is heartening for the simple fact that it means that he's not giving up. He stated that he wants to still try to get the Presidential UAP Records Review Board up, and he's not going to go down without a fight.
So these agents have taken upon this responsibility as a part of a bottoms-up approach in order to understand what potential illegalities might be occurring with objects that are operating within our airspace that we're not properly tracking or mitigating.
We've also been notified by multiple credible sources that information on UAPs has been withheld from Congress, which, if true, is a violation of the laws requiring full notification to the legislative branch. And that's a very significant admission by the Senate majority leader.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. The number is to call tonight, 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. You know, I don't like it when people try to get in the way of information. I don't like it when people, when you want to tell the truth and there are people out there that want to undermine your ability to do that. I don't like betrayal. Especially when my family and my supporters are being betrayed. This is very deep, and it cuts deep for me. And like I said many times during this program tonight, I wanted to address the elephant in the room. So today we were made aware that Aftermath subscribers received a letter from Rob Davenport, who is the owner of Ravitics Media. They have maintained the Aftermath website and digital platform for over 4 years. And this letter indicated that I wanted to shut down the Aftermath on March 1st. That's not true. In fact, we were in a negotiation situation. We wanted to continue. We were trying to make a transition into another format or into another place, but we wanted to continue the broadcast on Aftermath well into June or July. They wanted us to go until December. We said we couldn't do that. We wanted to do like 9 months. We'd be fine because we'd be able to satisfy every subscriber and give them their money's worth. So Rob is telling you something that is untrue in his email. He also says that, you know, they're going to stop and cancel subscriptions. And while we're in the interim, you'll have access to everything on Aftermath. Well, tonight people are complaining they're not getting the chat room, among other things. So another lie. But it seems like after a few of our business representatives asked for an audited financial statement, our relationship went downhill. And there are many other things that contributed to this, and I don't want to get into them right now because, well, there are a lot of people who could speak for themselves, and I would rather have them do it than me speak on behalf of them. But you'd think the Rovitics would be upfront and transparent about how many members we have on Aftermath, along with records that match up with financial totals, but sadly, they didn't do that. And sadly, they don't know how to negotiate a deal. They don't seem to be professional. And, you know, as Mark Masters, who was on the program earlier, said, it sounds very juvenile. It is very juvenile. The bottom line is that I really care about my listeners. And I really care about those members of Aftermath.media. Because you're the reason why I'm here, literally. It is your subscriptions, it is your help and support that have kept me living all this time, kept my family intact all this time, that have been there for Janine because she's going to have her surgeries. I'm going to have some too soon. But I'm just saying that, you know, getting old means you have to get some of the, you have to get some of the kinks out. But this is puzzling to me that Rob Davenport emphatically stated that there would be no refunds for yearly subscribers. Is that ethical? Is that even legal? I realize, and I've heard of the sacrifices that you've made financially in helping support Ground Zero. And so I'm going to do everything I can, everything in my power, to make sure that you are the priority in getting what you paid for. I just can't deal with betrayal. I can't deal with people who are immoral or unethical. This is what I need you to do, okay? If you're an Aftermath member, I need you to let us know if you're a monthly or a yearly subscriber. If yearly, please indicate what is the expiration date of your subscription. If you are interested in being a member, please leave your email and interest and anything else. You can send it to groundzeroron@gmail.com. That's groundzeroron@gmail.com. And also, we have a Facebook page, which is Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. And a lot of people are sending us their messages of hope, their messages of support, because they know exactly what's going on here. Many of them who have had to deal with a lot of craziness and knowing that it has nothing to do with Ground Zero, has everything to do with management, this is something that I am very glad you understand. Because there are many times when things have gone down with Aftermath, with other hosts, and I've been blamed for it. It's not me. It's not. And you're being deceived, and I just want to be honest and upfront about that. You're being deceived. You're being betrayed. I'm being deceived and being betrayed. But it's not about me, okay? It's about people who I love, people who I trust, people who've supported me. And that means a lot to me. It always has. And that's why I always try to give you as honest of a show as I can. I always try to do hard work to bring about theater of the mind and research. And you know, I'm one of you. I'm just a guy who got lucky with a good voice, and I have the ability to investigate and talk about these things. And you guys are just, you're tremendous. And that's why I say I will do everything in my power. So again, get a pencil. Let me give you the email so you can write Ron. It's groundzeroron@gmail.com. That's groundzeroron@gmail.com. And that way we can, like I say, we can address the elephant in the room. We'll probably do something, a show or something, sooner or later to make sure that everybody's taken care of and to let people know exactly where we're moving to, what we're doing, and who's involved. We just, like I said, we got a call from Mark Masters in the last hour, and he said that he's getting behind us 100%, and he's the guy that was behind the Art Bell Show. And so I was listening to him talk, and it was giving me, I was shaking. I was so overwhelmed by what was being said, and my gosh, I am so thankful, and I know that I have a guardian angel out there somewhere, and I'm happy that we're working hard. And please, groundzeroron@gmail.com. We'll be back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
Mr. Luke, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry about what's going on with your corporation and all that. And a longtime listener and a great follower of what you have to say.
Well,
we do too. I come from a rural community in Pennsylvania, surrounded by Amish people. And it's so funny when we have the opportunity to listen to you, we certainly do.
The Amish listen too? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that they kind of do.
Bless you, brother.
Okay.
Tell them I'll bless them. And I want a house built. I want a house built. Tell them to build me a house. Something.
Oh, my gosh. They certainly will. And they're strictly very conservative.
Good. So I'm glad they listen. I love them. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. But here was a topic that I was interested in, and it was your previous hour when obviously, I'm surrounded by these people also. And when you were talking about the Antichrist and the bloodlines and all those things, it was in your previous hour, sir.
Yes.
And what we're interested in. Well, myself specifically is this. If a man could come on stage and give the ability for people to see and give them sight again, and at the same time give them the ability to perhaps walk again, if they're paralyzed, most people would think that's an amazing man.
Yes.
And a man said that on Tuesday.
Who said that?
That he has Elon Musk.
Well, how about this?
With Neuralink.
Yes, how about this? How about, by the way, we have this Stargate thing we're putting together, and it's going to cure cancer.
Absolutely, sir.
Yeah. I mean, yes, miracles are being talked about, but what has to be done in order for the miracle to be carried out? You have to become symbiotic with machines. Your technology, your chip, the biometrics. And remember, I did a show about that weeks ago saying, all you got to do is just put that little chip in your hand and they can read your retina or whatever they want to do. It's just, it's crazy how this is so... Like I say, it's a theater. It's a lot of great theater, and it makes you wonder if it is fulfillment of prophecy or if they're just nudging the eschaton, giving God a good nudge and saying, hey, we want the end of the world so that we can rebuild it in our image.
And exactly how you stated it, it's theater because he's got a stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. And I come from a rural area where these people are not aware of those kind of things.
Yeah.
And so it's quite a stage, and it's quite interesting how these people are responding to these things.
Think of the miracle workers in Malawi that bring vaccines to these kids. But the thing is, the kids don't want them, and so what do? They put guns to their head and they say, hey, take this.
You force. Need
to force it, yes. Just like what happened with COVID. Hey, you take this. You know, the idea of coercion. And I couldn't believe that people would accept coercion. I couldn't believe people would accept oppression. But they do. Why? Because they want more control and they want freedom.
Absolutely right, and they come from an area where people have freedom and have all those things.
Yeah.
But these communities are obviously, they're Amish, so then they are susceptible to those things that Elon Musk can say he can cure.
Well, keep them listening to me, and I hope I can put them on the right track.
You're great, Clyde.
Thank you, man. Have a great night. I appreciate that. Gosh, the Amish listen to Ground Zero. I find that cool. Amish paradise. Let's go to Earl in Minnesota. Hey, Earl, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clive.
Hey.
You guys, they tried to drop the bomb on the Ground Zero listeners tonight, but all of us are survivors, man. I'm pulling for you.
I appreciate that. I'm so excited because, look, if everything is going the way I think it will, this is just going to be a bad memory, and we're going to move on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, it'll be all right. Hey, I was concerned about the with the oligarchs and the bloodline in England and how they love the adrenal chrome. I'm worried what happened to the 340,000 I heard children that have been missing during the past administration, and with all the nefarious things going on and the selling of body parts and slaves.
Earl, you come to the right person. I'll tell you why. Have you ever done any research on Jimmy Savile?
No, sir.
Okay, let me give you the name. Jimmy Savile. It's S-A-V-I-L-L-E. Jimmy Savile. He was a guy, really bizarre-looking guy. He used to do a children's show in England. He was good friends with King Charles. He was good friends with Prince Andrew. He turned out to be, get a load of this, a abuser of children, abuser of older people. He actually was a necrophiliac. He was a pedophile, and he was friends with the king. And if you want to wonder if vampires exist, look up Jimmy Savile, and you're going to see that he had a relationship with the king. He had a good relationship with the with Prince Andrew. He had a good relationship with most of the royals. And so if you if you want to know where that adrenal chrome or that louche comes from, just you can look at that and you'll see that it's part of a plan.
Well, then Charles has had the Stonehenge monoglyphic that he can walk inside and do his little spiritual thing, removed from the countryside too, and brought back to the castle. There's been so many things done.
Another thing, Cosmati pavement. Think about that, too. Yeah. That's where he made his oaths, and those are where the Rex Mundi makes his oaths, is on the Cosmati pavement. So that's something else. Let's go to Nick in Pennsylvania. Hey, Nick, you're on Ground Zero.
Thanks for taking my call, Clyde. Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Shady Maple, Amish run it. Best buffet in the United States, biggest one. If you go there, you won't want to leave. but what I want to say, Clyde, is I was flipping through the channels today, and they talked about this great monarch. I never heard of this before. There's a guy who has a show called the John Henry Weston Show, and they had this guest on who was from Normandy. He said there was some apparition or something in Normandy to talk about the great monarch that would bring in some angelic pope, and it would be, his name was Henry of the Cross. I never heard of this stuff my whole life, Clyde.
Well, everybody has their different messiahs they want to bring into play, and I tell you, this is the time where a lot of revelation is going to happen, and it's going to be so bizarre, and you're going to go, how can they get away with this? I mean, think about Emmanuel Macron. He said he wanted to rule France like Jupiter. He said, he's the Lord of Lords, God of Gods. My name is Emmanuel. Figure it out.
They said this guy here is a direct descendant of Louis the 16th, and he has that Bourbon bloodline. They just don't know who he is.
It'll be interesting to see what they say he is. That's for sure. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Chris in New York. You have about two. We got about a minute. Go ahead, Chris.
Thanks, Clyde. Yeah. I've heard of some cases where a demon threw a 12-foot tongue across the room at someone.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is, I think people aren't intending to conjure up the demons. They might be engaged in something like a little financial fraud, and then all of a sudden the demons pop up.
They didn't invite just anybody to these little demon ceremonies, okay? They were the most elite of the elite, and of course the drill were consultants to Adolf Hitler. So no, they weren't committing any fraud. They were doing it on their own. And this Lab 9 group, they were also some of the greats like DuPont and Rockefeller Rothschild that met to also conjure these demons. So it wasn't a come to our little demons fest. No, this was something a lot darker. And if you look through the occult history, you'll see that it's been happening for some time. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the program tonight. Thank you so much for understanding what's going on with us. We're trying to make it better. We're going to make it better. This is something that was very much a surprise to us, and we are moving forward in a great direction, and with your help, we'll make it. And remember, keep your mind where they can't get at it. You keep it at ground zero. Good night.